Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Well, I am very privileged today to be joined by Lisa Ventura, MBE, and we are here to talk about the new UK cybersecurity law and whether we think it can really stop you getting hacked. It's an interesting one, this, because the new law actually forces tech companies to prioritize security in your smart devices. And smart devices can include routers, fridges, printers, toothbrushes, and, you know, anything else. But PCs are not included. And I think also, Lisa, there are some other bits and pieces that aren't included from what you've been telling me.
Hi, Nat. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today. So you're absolutely right with this new UK law. There are some products that are out of scope. And I actually, I actually attended a talk about this yesterday at an event in Birmingham in the UK called Cyberverse, which was a fringe event to Cyber UK. And that's the UK government's flagship cybersecurity conference and event. And at the talk where Regina Bloomham from Pinsent Masons was giving an overview about the new legislation and what that means, there are indeed some products that are out of scope. And that's certain products that are supplied in Northern Ireland, some electric vehicle charge points, which I thought was an interesting one, medical devices because they're covered by another piece of UK legislation, and smart meter products. And as you rightly said, that also it also includes tablets and computers, but not tablets with cellular connectivity. That's what came up during the talk yesterday. So it covers a lot and a wide range, but yes, there are some products that are out of the scope. And yeah, some that were quite surprising for me. You know, smart meter products, we've all heard the horror stories of, you know, when they go wrong and people are getting charged thousands and thousands of pounds for their gas and electric bills when they haven't used that much. And electrical vehicle charge points as well. That was another interesting one, particularly around the whole, driverless cars and smart car piece.
I think there's a real risk with all of this of not covering enough. I mean, I think from my point of view, the gym where I go to, which I absolutely love, they I was talking to you about this last time we spoke, and they've offered basically a phone charging point, and you can go there and you can plug your phone in and you can lock it up in a box, right? And it's like, in my personal opinion, whose responsibility is that if your phone gets hacked? Is it your responsibility for plugging it into something that was potentially tampered with? I don't know. I kind of get a bit worried about these things, to be fair.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, that security around those, you know, public access points, that is a huge talking point. And there is a lot of debate in terms of who would be responsible if something did happen and your device got hacked when you plugged it into that kind of public charging point. So there's a whole ramification of security in terms of, I don't think, you know, enough is being done, and I don't think it's being looked at closely enough. And I'm not sure that particular element is actually covered by this new act. It might be. I need to delve into it a bit more to be able to, you know, say for sure whether that's covered or not. But, you know, the ramifications are huge if you plug into, you know, some, you know, network like that's not secure. And there's a wealth of smart devices that are connected to different networks and so on. I think we've all got some sort of smart device in our home, and I think we'd be hard pressed to find a home that doesn't these days have at least something. And the raft of products that are now connecting to the internet is insane. I mean, we were talking yesterday in the conference. There's even such a thing. I mean, we've heard about the smart toothbrushes. And there was the possibility that those could be hacked as well. But there is no such a thing as a smart hairbrush, and I couldn't believe it. And what this hairbrush does is actually plug into connect to an app, and it tells you what you're doing in terms of brushing your hair, and whether that's any good for you in terms of your health, the health of your hair, and what you're doing, etc. So it's just, I really think that just because you can make a device smart doesn't mean that you should make a device smart. And there's just, you know, so much coming out on the market. Do we really need it? I really don't. You know, some of it, I really don't think so. You know, smart hairbrush. It's just insane.
It is completely insane. But I mean, some of these manufacturers, certainly when it comes to like printers, Brother Printers is one example, have said security updates will continue for 5 years after the device is last in production, right? But they have had a different password for each device since 2020. And it's just like, but it's like, I understand with manufacturing lines, it takes a little bit of time to kind of retool and kind of make the plan. So, you know, we're maybe a couple of years out. And I think with the European Act that is coming into place, that's also going to be interesting, because the Cyber Resilience Act EU, it's a bit unclear, as in my opinion, what's going to be sort of included there, whether that's going to cover PCs and laptops or not. I mean, I think from my side of things, just looking at it as an individual, I think it would be really, really good to basically just educate people more so that they can actually take more responsibility for themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, there's been so much that's been going on, certainly when it comes to like phishing attacks with mobile phone messages. I mean, I had one a few weeks ago. You know, I was expecting a parcel. I had a text message arrive, and it said I needed to pay like, I don't know, 37 cents or whatever it is in euros. And I was like, I don't have to pay that. Like, and I almost clicked the link, and it was very carefully worded. And it's just a bit, I find these things a bit suspicious. Do you know what I mean? There must be some sort of insider within these organizations that probably either they've got weak security or they give up the data, you know, for this.
Absolutely. Now, and I think I said to you before that I had something similar around the time that I taxed a new car that I bought. So I had to go onto the gov.uk website and tax the new car. So I went through that whole process, did the tax. Literally within, I don't think even half an hour of having done that, I received an email that looked so much like it had come from the gov.uk website, saying that my vehicle was untaxed and I needed to click this link to pay now. And it was a phishing email attempt. But having just gone through that process of taxing my car, I could have so easily clicked on that link, but I didn't. I just sort of stopped and went, whoa, no, hold on a minute. Have a look at it. Look at all the different, you know, aspects and so on. And I did. And it was indeed a phishing email attempt. But it's just, it's so easy to be caught out, especially, like you say, you were expecting your parcel. You then got that text message. I just taxed my car. I then got my email. So if we'd just done something and we were expecting something, you know, to get that phishing attempt around it, it can be so easy to be caught out, especially if we're really busy and we're running around and, you know, we just think, oh, we need to do that and just click on it.
Absolutely. And the entire sort of social engineering piece of, you know, when to message someone when they're at their heightest point of stress, so that they make a mistake. That's a very interesting element to kind of bring to the table, really. But it's very worrying. All of this stuff's very worrying. And I don't think people actually understand until they've had a problem themselves with perhaps not necessarily being hacked and ransomed, but actually having real serious security problems. So they can't actually, you know, fulfill their obligations to their employer or do their self-employed job or, you know, whatever it is. It's actually really, really stressful. And I don't think many people really understand how important it actually is to take control of your digital life, right?
Absolutely. And you're so right now. I see this, you know, so much, and I have a lot of these conversations. We're in 2024 and there's still very much a head in the sand approach to security and cybersecurity. And the problem is only getting a lot, you know, worse with things like more and more and more of these smart devices and the Internet of Things. The nation states and cyber attacks and the discussions around, you know, Russia and China and so on and what they're doing. And I think that it's just only going to grow and grow and get worse. But I think there is still that head in the sand approach. And I think you're so right. Unless somebody has something that happens to them directly or affects them directly, they just don't think about security and what they need to do to make sure that they're as safe online as they possibly can be. And even if whatever happens to them is something, you know, within their own sort of personal life, their online banking, for example, or I talk about this a lot, the bank of mum and dad WhatsApp scam. You know, my own cousin actually sent some money because she genuinely believed that was her daughter when she had that that scam for WhatsApp. And she was, again, like us all, she was running around doing stuff, you know, genuinely thought it was her daughter, actually transferred some money. Now, her bank, Santander, was really good and worked with her to reverse it, and she got the money back. But, you know, so many people don't, and so many people will literally lose their life savings, you know, as a result of just clicking on that one link or genuinely believing that who they're dealing with is somebody legitimate, like their bank or like a family member or somebody like that. And, you know, we really need to somehow get the awareness and the message, you know, out there so that it lands.
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to securing your digital life, you know, you've got to take responsibility. There's a certain level of responsibility that you must take yourself, right? And that includes... Yeah. Taking that responsibility for your children as well, if you have them. And many parents actually don't know enough about these things. And that's the biggest problem as far as the sort of younger generation's concerned. It's very difficult actually taking care of this.
Absolutely. And yeah, children today are so much more, you know, tech savvy. I bet they'll be, you know, teaching me or teaching their parents or the other way around. And like you say, the fact that the parents don't have that education or that security awareness, you know, in the first place, you know, that can also be a huge problem. And we somehow need that message, you know, to land with the general public so that they really understand just how the cybersecurity threat and security does affect them. And not just in the work, but on a day-to-day basis, you know, when they're doing their online banking, when they're doing anything, you know, online. You know, that piece is so important, and that education piece around security when conducting anything online is crucial as well. And I want to touch as well, I think, about people don't really think about how much of their data they're giving away on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, by that, I mean, we'll all go onto a website where it wants you to, you know, to sign up to something, and we'll put in our email address and various details about ourselves. And we all love a freebie or a bargain or something like that. But is it ever really free? Because I think if you're even, you know, social media like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, I know it's got their subscription now, but just, you know, to use it on a, you know, free basis, just how much of our data are they harvesting and how much are we giving away? And of course, the algorithm around, you know, the ads that it shows us and so on, you've only got to go online and look at, you know, a certain thing, and the next thing you're getting ads for that particular thing. And that's another element as well, because a product like that is never free. You are the product, and you are giving that information about yourself away so that those companies can build up that picture around your likes, your dislikes, your spending habits, you know, all of that.
Yeah. But also, I mean, that information that you're giving away can also lead to you being hacked, right? Because the more people know about you and the more lax your security is and also your social sharing, if you've got public profiles and you're sharing all your information online, it gives people much more information on you. And then if they do decide they're going to go to your mum and dad and try and ask them for money, I mean, you won't get any money out of my parents. My mum's not around, and dad definitely won't give you any money. But you know, when it comes to basically building a picture of someone and being able to imitate them, it is highly worrying. I mean, the UK are trying to protect us, to protect its citizens. I think that there is this sort of competition going on between the EU and the UK when it comes to these laws. And I think that's really good. Competition is really good in this instance, because it means that we're going to raise the bar. Yeah. But in my opinion, raising the bar means that we need to actually, you know, be able to secure our laptops and desktops as well, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something needs to land, the messaging needs to land, and there just needs to be something that people can go to that know that they can get that education, they can get that awareness, and then be empowered to be able to know, you know, what to do, and, you know, get those that cyber hygiene in place, those steps to cyber security, because a lot of them as well aren't hard. You know, things like getting your two-factor authentication in place, making sure you've got your antivirus and so on. But you'd be amazed at how many people, and even a lot of, you know, businesses and smaller businesses, you know, don't even do that, that they have that head in the sand approach. So that's what I'm all about, is getting that awareness out there, getting those education pieces and that empowerment. And I think a lot of people just don't understand the security threat and think it's all very technical, and that it's all, you know, much too difficult to do and to implement. And that's where a lot of this head in the sand approach comes from. So that the message really needs to be as simple as possible, and it needs to land with people to empower them to be as safe as they can be in their personal life and in their work lives as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the government probably are thinking they need to do something about the laptops, the desktops, et cetera, moving forwards. But if you're watching this, clearly you're interested in cybersecurity. So to get involved with the up and coming cybersecurity course we are creating for the end user, get in touch with us via email, info@influentialvisions.com, or contact us on LinkedIn, and we'd be really happy to talk to you about that. Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been really enjoyable. Always love speaking with you, and thanks everyone for watching.
Thank you, Nat. It's a pleasure to be here as always.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections, and don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.